Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the 500th episode of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I am of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm good, man. I'm doing good, man. I'm glad to be on this show. For this 500th episode, I'm glad to be on this show with you, bro. And glad that the, you know, ladies and gentlemen are listening out there, you know, since 2019, you know, thank you for the support, everybody. And, you know, I want to thank you, Mac, for being on this show as always.
Hey, man, it's been a great, well, how many years? 10 years you've been on there now, right? More than 10 years?
Yeah, more than 10 years. I say what, 12 years or so? Yeah. November 2nd, 2009. So next week will be the season premiere. and the anniversary episode all in one. So
wow, yeah, 500 episodes. That's a great milestone.
Thank you, man. Couldn't have done it without all of you. You know, so I want to thank you, Mac, and I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this show and, you know, keeping it going.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what we do, you know, we talk sports and entertainment and everything else. So, you know, we're going to talk about this huge Knicks win. RJ Barrett scoring a career high 35 points. We'll talk about the Nets, you know, what they're going through right now. We'll also talk about the hot stove with the Mets striking out on GMs and managerial position, you know, filling their position for various different reasons. We'll get into that. We'll talk about the World Series. You know, the Astros blew a 2-0 lead. The score was tied last time I just saw it. We'll get into that. We'll talk Jets-Giants, you know, WWE, AEW, even Bound for Glory that happened last week. We'll talk about that. But most importantly, we want to open up the phone lines for you, ladies and gentlemen. The number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics, Omar. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, you know, before I talk more about this 500th episode, I feel like, you know, it's appropriate that we play a little sample episode, you know, to show you guys, you know, how the show started, and also what have anything changed, you know, from November 2nd, 2009 to now, you know, fandom wise. Well, let me get to that. Let me play the clip right now. We'll be right back after these messages. Peace.
Hey, welcome to Sports Urban Legend with William Ramo. I'm McCauley Matthew. I'm the co-host for the show. And here's your host, William Ramo.
Hey, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? This is Sports Urban Legend with your host, of course. I'm William Ramo. We're going to be talking sports. We're going to start off with the hot stove, talk a little Mets, what key acquisitions they need to get in order to hopefully get themselves to the promised land, which they haven't been since 2000. They haven't won the World Series. So they have a lot of stuff. Of course, Yankees, we're going to talk a little Yankees and their final reach to the final destination. They finally got their 27. We'll, of course, talk about that also.
Yeah.
And, yes, unfortunately, we'll talk a little Knicks and Nets, too.
Oh, boom.
we'll talk a little football, a little gridiron with the Jets and their heartbreaking loss, which, unfortunately, we'll get into that also. And Giants didn't lose. They're probably the only team that haven't lost today since they had the bye week.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll talk a little hockey for some of you hockey fans out there. Yeah. So before we start the show, I guess I'll give you a little background about me. Of course, I'm Will. I'm a diehard Knicks and a Jets fan. I've been a Mets fan for the past 10 years.
Yep.
A Knicks fan forever. And I've been following the Jets during the Herman Edwards era. So, I guess, McCauley, you could give a little feedback about your sports background, if you'd like.
Well, you know, just like you, I'm a Knicks fan, unfortunately. And I'm also a Yankee fan who just won their 27th championship 2 weeks ago. And I'm a Giant fan, New York Giant fan. And like you said, they were off today, so they couldn't lose. And I'm a New York Rangers fan, even though I don't watch them. So, there we go.
there you go. Like you said, you know, appropriately. That's our fandom in a nutshell. Let's basically recap, you know, what happened since the show aired. The Yankees, you know, for Mac and the Yankee fans, they're still looking for the 28th championship. You know, that's eluded
them.
Going
a decade without a championship.
Going a decade. And, you know, for the Yankees, you know, not winning a title, you know, in a, you know, just a year. It's like they haven't won in a decade. So them not winning is like, you know, they haven't won in a century. And, you know, unfortunately for the Mets fans, you know, that's even worse because, you know, we haven't won in 35 years. Like, literally, I was just a little kid the last time the Mets won, you know. Like, I never experienced the Mets winning a title, you know. For me to see Mets footage of Mets winning a title, so I have to watch videos, YouTube videos, or pop in a DVD for me to see them win a championship. Or play video games and simulate, see how it would be like. But, so far on that front, nothing has changed there, as you already know. And then of course, you know, the Knicks are actually finally on the up and up. I mean, for the majority of this series, the Knicks have always been, you know, the laughing stock, you know, of the city. I mean, I can't say the laughing stock. I mean, the laughing stock of the league, but the city loves the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks is the only team in this whole entire city that most Mets fans and Knicks fans root for, that most Giants and Jet fans root for, that most Rangers, Islanders, and Devil fans root for. The Knicks is that the force when you think about it. Like Obi-Wan said, you know, it's like, you know, it penetrates us, it binds us, it, you know, it just keeps us together as New York fans, you know. That's like the only thing most New York fans agree on, you know, that, you know, on the Knicks. But, you know, other than that, well, that 2013 season and this last year, you know, the Knicks are actually doing well, and we're definitely gonna dive right into them very, 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 very shortly. The Nets are actually are on the up and up now. I mean, you know, the Nets, I mean, they've had the Nets are on the best run that they've been in their franchise, you know, since the Jason Kidd era, or even going back to the ABA, you know, era to Jay. You know, the Nets are on the up and up. I mean, obviously there's controversy with the Kyrie Irving situation. And then, of course, they had that heartbreaking loss to the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. But other than that, the Nets, you know, they're moving in the right direction. And then, you know, then you got the football teams. You know, the Giants, you know, they won a title. The only team to win a title under our show's reign, when you think about it, because the Yankees won their title 2 weeks before the show debuted, you know. And then, of course, you know, Jets are still the Jets. And, you know, the hockey teams haven't won anything. So, all in all, you know, when things may change, at the same time, things remain the same. So, what's your thought, Mac, on, you know, this whole sports fandom, you know, basically our championship droughts during this show's run?
Well, I mean, you've seen more championship droughts than I have. I mean,
well, of course.
You know, I mean, when your show started, Yankees had won, Giants won in the 2011 during your show. We just haven't seen the Knicks or Rangers or Mets or Jets win. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a while since these teams have won. I mean, things are looking up right now for the Knicks and Mets. I mean, I don't know. The Mets will have to see which direction they go in next season. The Jets right now, they're playing really bad. The Giants are playing really bad. I mean, right now, the Knicks are the, I would say they're the saving grace. Would you say?
Yeah,
right?
So far.
Yeah,
so far so good.
They're the team that has the most potential to win the championship right now.
That's
yeah.
something.
And like you heard in that clip, I said, you know, I was a Knicks fan, unfortunately. Well, now I'm a Knicks fan, fortunately. Better to be a Nets fan, I'll tell you that right now. So you know, things are looking up for the Knicks. At least I can say that.
Yeah, it's definitely about time that things are finally looking up for us Knick-wise. And what's a proof of that was basically tonight's game. You know, the Knicks, they went down to New Orleans and beat the Pelicans. And RJ Barrett, he scored a career high 35 points. Yeah, and he led us to the 123-117 victory. Yeah, he had a masterful performance. I think he knocked down like 6 threes, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he scored the 35 points. He had the 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and then you had the new Knicks, Fournier and Walker. Each scoring 19 points each, you know. So, you know, a good team effort. But unfortunately, the Knicks, they keep nearly squandering these leads. The Knicks was trying to, try to avoid a similar thing that happened to them against Chicago. A few days ago, when they nearly blew a 13 point lead when the Bulls finished the game with a 12-0 run, and missed a last second shot thanks to Barrett's defense, and the Knicks have been on a roll now. The Knicks are road warriors. You know, they're like, Hawk and what's the other guy? Oh, Animal. So, I mean, you know, they're doing their thing.
Yep.
You know, they just, or even Mad Max, when you think about it. You know, they're just traveling to town and beating up the opponents. You know? Like the Knicks used to do in the 90s.
Yeah, no, for real. For real.
The only loss they had was when they blew that game against the Magic after the Magic got their butt whooped down in the Magic Kingdom in Orlando, and, you know, they returned the favor. So the Knicks, you know, they've, ever since that embarrassing loss, you know, the Knicks have been, you know, winning games. So pop to the Knicks. The Knicks are 5-1, and they just got to keep this momentum going.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing real well, especially on the road. They're on the feet on the road. And you know, they've been blowing these leads. You know, they've been building these double-digit leads and letting teams come back in the second half. So they got to improve that going forward. And they need a closer. And I think they found it tonight in R.J. Barrett. And this guy's 20 years old, and he's stepping up right now. And he had a big game tonight with 35 points.
Mm-hmm.
And his game kind of reminds me of Scottie Pippen a little bit, if you think about it. This guy, he has long arms, you know, he's a wing defender, you know, and he has an all-around game. He can rebound, he can score, he can shoot from the outside, play defense, pass the ball. I mean, he can develop into a Scottie Pippen type player.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get him to develop into a player like that, then, you know, we'll have a great team going forward, I think.
Oh, 100%. You're 100% right. You know,
yeah.
you know, he Barrett is finally living up to his potential right now, and tonight's game was evident of that. And you know, we're gonna need him to do that, because Monday night we're gonna be facing the Raptors, you know, who recently beat the Pacers today by the final score of 97-94. So, you know,
bing bong.
Bing bong. They gotta keep this the streak going. You know, they're gonna be hosting the Raptors, and that's gonna be like an anniversary game of the first ever basketball game between the Knicks and the Toronto Huskies, if my memory serves me right. That's supposed to, I think that game happened like, 45 years ago. No, not 45, 75 years ago. I think 1946, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, the Knicks is the oldest team in the NBA, and hopefully the Knicks will whoop their behind, the Raptors behind, and defend the home court. So we'll see what, and then afterwards, Knicks are going to, Wednesday night, they're going to be hosting the, no, actually, they're going to be on the road against their old rival, the Pacers, Indiana. Then they're going to go, and Friday night, they're going to be facing the Bucks, the defending world champion Bucks. And then afterwards, they're going to be hosting the Cavs, you know. Looking forward to that game, you know.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I'm pumped up for that. Mm-hmm. This is going to be our first game since at MSG, first Knick game at MSG since, I think, that playoff game. Was it at the Heat or Celtics? I forget which team we played.
I think it was Celtics.
Yeah. Been a while,
like,
man.
A decade ago, I think.
Yeah. Still have that Knicks shirt that they gave us in that loss.
I don't know if I still have it. But, yeah. And then afterwards, the following night, they're going to be in Philly against the 76ers. So. And then Wednesday night, they're going to be hosting the Bucks. So, yeah, man, this is going to be an interesting schedule. But the Pacers are going to be an easy game. Pacers aren't good this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is gonna be a interesting stretch for them. You know.
Should be good, but I think they're up for the challenge. You know, so far they've beaten teams like Sixers and Celtics, who are supposed to be, you know, two of the best teams in the East.
Mm-hmm.
So they're proving that they are for real this year, the Knicks.
Yeah. And that was the expectation, because we were like, they cannot take a step back. I mean, they were the fourth seed. You know, they gotta improve. At the very minimum, they have to be the fourth seed.
Yep.
They can't, being the seven or eight seed is not acceptable. You do not want to get into that play-in situation. You know, that's not a fun experience. You know, so props to the Knicks. You know, Knicks are doing their thing, you know. It's refreshing to see the Knicks, you know, actually playing well.
Yep.
Defending, scoring, you know, they are 3-point happy, but fortunately for them, they do have guys who have a resume of knocking down threes, you know, with Walker and Fournier, you know, so to improve, you know, to complement Randall and Barrett. So, you know, they got to just keep this momentum, you know, the momentum that they have.
By the way,
what were you going to say?
Breaking news, the Braves are up 3-2 heading into the bottom of the eighth, and they are looking to go up 3-1 on the Astros in the World Series.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that very, very shortly. But, yeah, very – thank you for that breaking news. No surprise there. Once the Astros blew the 2-0 lead, I mean, that, you know, it was just a matter of time that the Braves would take the lead, and you know, unfortunately, they're gonna hold on to it. So, most likely when the season premiere episode comes next week, you know, the failure will be complete. I will see all the teams that I hate in sports win a title before my very eyes, because the Braves won the title in 95, but that was 4 years before I was a Met fan, so I didn't get to see that, you know, that that accomplishment. Unfortunately, the Braves would give me my first heartache as a Met fan when Kenny Rogers gambled the Met season away and walked Andrew Jones to make the Braves face the Yankees in the World Series, you know. But c'est la vie. So just have to we'll just deal with the I'll just deal with the Braves winning the title as I predicted before this World Series even started. If you look at the past couple of episodes of this show, unfortunately, I hope I'm not right, but sometimes you hate to be right, but it is what it is.
Yep.
But shifting gears to the Nets. The Nets they defeated the Pacers by the final score of 105-98. They're going to be hosting the Pistons tomorrow night. And then Wednesday night, they're going to be hosting the Hawks. Friday night, they're going to go to Detroit, face the Pistons. And then Sunday, they're going to be in Toronto to face the Raptors. And then they're going to be, they're going to be facing the Bulls Monday night. So, that's the Nets story right there.
The Nets just don't look right without Kyrie right now.
Yeah. I think I was saying that last week that basically, you know, they're a good team, but without the you know, the big three, you know, they're just like every other team.
Yeah.
What put them over the top was that they had three, you know, superstar players, you know, trying to work as one to you know, bring the title, the first NBA title to the Nets, you know. They're going to just continue to need, you know, strong contributions from Durant and Harden and their supporting cast, like LaMarcus Aldridge or even Blake Griffin, you know, this stage of his career. That proved the victory for them against the Pacers. Durant, you know, he scored 22 points, had 11 rebounds, 7 assists, nearly had a triple-double. Then you had Harden almost having a triple-double as well, with 29 points, 8 assists, and 8 rebounds. And then LaMarcus Aldridge, he's scoring 21 points and grabbing 8 boards. So, you know, they're going to need Aldridge, you know, to continue to step up his game. I mean, you know, obviously the guy, he missed, he had a temporary retirement because he had a heart problem, but looks like everything's good with him right now. So they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to be careful with him, you know, but they definitely need that. Definitely need that third option with Kyrie Irving, you know, gone indefinitely due to his, you know, vaccine stance. So, yeah, the Nets are, you know, this is, you know, the Nets are on a championship run. You know, they don't need all these off the court distractions. And then last week, they had protesters outside Barclays Center, you know, protesting, you know, in behalf of Kyrie Irving, you know. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, you know, with the Nets, you know, as the season go along. But, yeah.
Kyrie about to lead the thousands of Nets fans to their death by having them not get vaccinated.
Well,
tell these people not to get vaccinated, man. Then if you don't get vaccinated, then they end up dying. And who's to blame for that? Kyrie. It's messed up, man.
Well, we'll see what happens. And, you know, with this storyline as the weeks progress, you know. Because this storyline is not going to be resolved anytime soon. But
yeah, you ain't going to see any Knicks fan end up dead because all the Knicks fans are vaccinated. MSG wants all Knicks players and fans to be vaccinated. Remember that.
Well, I mean, the Nets want all their players vaccinated too. But Kyrie, he feels like he's against this the vaccine. He doesn't want it. The mandate to go into effect, so that's why he's not playing right now. Because, like you said, in New York, you gotta be vaccinated or you won't play. But shifting gears, World Series, the Braves are leading 3-2. Basically the Astros, they blew this lead, and they're gonna blow this World Series. And if that happens, man, Dusty Baker, man, he's gonna remain winless, you know, as a manager. He did win a title in '81 as a Dodger against the Yankees, you know, that year. This is the 40th anniversary now that I think about it.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to win his first title. As a manager, he is the first man a black manager in history to take an American League team, which is the Astros this year, and the National League team, which was the San Francisco Giants in 2002, to the World Series. But he's still looking for that elusive championship. If I'm not mistaken, who was the first one? Sparky Anderson, maybe, was the first one manager overall to do that, I think, wasn't it? I can't. I would have to double check.
That's a good question.
Yeah, maybe we should.
That's check a good quickly. Question.
Please feel free to check that for me quickly, if you don't mind. But what was I going to say? But yeah. Gurr, he had a great managerial career, but you know, that's the only blemish of his career, that he hasn't won the big one, you know. And then not to mention
Cito Gaston was the first black manager to win the World Series with Toronto.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Back-to-back years, 92-93.
His
team beat the Braves in 92. And then 93, his team beat the Phillies thanks to Joe Carter's epic walk-off home run, you know, in that World Series. And, you know, the fans in Toronto are still going crazy from that home run.
So you're asking who was the first black manager to go to the World Series?
No. Who was the first manager, period? To win, to take both teams to the World Series or win the World Series.
First black manager, you asked.
No, regular manager.
Oh, just a regular manager.
Dusty Baker is the first black manager to take his teams to the World Series in both leagues. Tito Gaston, like you just mentioned, he was the first black manager to win a championship. But I'm talking about overall, who was the first manager to take both teams to the World Series or win both. I can't remember which question I mentioned, but yeah. But yeah, we'll keep you posted with, you know, as this game goes along. If the game, this game, I would assume is going to end before, you know, this show's over, since we're two outs away from the bottom eight coming up, and then the Braves are going to try to close it out. So yeah, that's.
I think, going back to that question, I mean, there's a lot of managers, but I guess it depends on the year, because Yogi Berra did it with the Mets and the Yankees.
Oh, yes, that's true. That is true. He did. He did do that with both teams.
Pat Moran, Bill McKechnie, Joe McCarthy, Joe Cronin, Bucky Harris, Dick Williams, Sparky Anderson, Tony La Russa.
Yeah, Sparky Anderson might be the first one to win, might have won both with both teams. That's probably what I was talking about before, because I remember Sparky Anderson did do something like that. So he probably was the first guy to win both.
Bruce Bochy, the Padres and the Giants.
Mm.
But it looks like Bill McKechnie was the first in 1925.
To manage both to the World Series or to win?
To manage both.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Actually, no, Joe McCarthy. He managed the Yankees, and then he managed. Let me see. Yeah, I'm still not sure. They're listing different years, but still. All
right, let me look. Let me look for Sparky Anderson, because I know he did something like that. He had a...
No, Sparky Anderson definitely did it, but I'm trying to find out who was the first one out of those groups.
Right. Yeah, Anderson was the first manager to win the World Series in both leagues, yeah. Yeah, so I was right. Sparky Anderson...
Oh, I thought you said that who was the first one to bring the teams to the World Series. Oh, you're asking who was the first to win both.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But then I didn't mention that Dusty Baker was the first manager to bring both the first black manager to bring you know, each team from different leagues to the World Series.
Okay.
But yeah. So. Yeah, Sparky Anderson was the first manager to win in both leagues for both teams. So let me see. So yeah, he did it with the Reds, the big red machine, and he did it with the Tigers. 75-76 Reds. And then the 84 Tiger team. So there you go. Let's see. What else? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the Mets, man. The Mets, man, they've been... Man, what a off-season it's been. They've either been striking out, or they won't get any permission from the other big league teams, especially the Brewers. Man, if I was the Mets, I wouldn't even make trades with the Brewers, because they're not even being fair. Like, they're not even letting them interview, you know? I mean, like, come on. Like, they can't interview Doug Stearns, Matt Arnold, like, the newspaper were flirting for like 5 days that, oh, you know, they're gonna talk to him, you know, they're gonna find a loophole, you know, that if they elevate him, they promote him, that he'll that they'll have a chance to talk to him. And it's like they've just been striking out on everything. They've struck out on T.O. Epstein, Billy Bean, you know, who had a legitimate excuse, you know, why he's not taking the job, because he doesn't want to uproot his family, especially his teenage daughters, from the situation, which is very admirable. Who else? Theo Epstein, Billy Beam. I'm trying to think of the other one, major one that snubbed the Mets. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Yeah, the other third person escapes me for some reason. But yeah, they just keep striking out, man. It's no joke. And then one person that they should be looking into is Brian Sabian. You know, a guy who won championships with the Giants in 2010, 2012, and 2014, and he was you know, integral in your boys drafting the core four for the Yankees. So I mean, his resume speaks for itself. But Mets, you know, they want to go in a different direction. They want to hire people who are assistant GMs on other teams, you know. And then there was rumors that, you know, if Billy Beane would have signed with the Mets or left the Mets, Bob Melvin would have came to the Mets. But that's not the case either, because Bob Melvin, even though he was currently the manager of the A's owner gave him permission to interview with the Padres, and sure enough, he got the job without compensation. Where were the Mets on this situation? Bob Melvin is the perfect guy that would have been managing the team. Like me, I've been screaming for them to get Buck Showalter for the longest time. But Bob Melvin, you know, he's a three-time manager of the year. A lot of former players, you know, sing his praises, like Jerry Blevins and even Cespedes when he was, you know, that year. What was it last
Cespedes.
Year? You know. Before he took a sabbatical, he was, you know, talking about he would like to retire as an A's, you know. So, you know, a lot of players are singing his praises that, you know, Bob Melvin would be a great manager. You know, he's a player's manager, but he's not gonna sugarcoat anything. He's gonna give it to you straight, but he's fair. He's firm but fair, you know. Mets haven't had a manager like that since Terry Collins, you know, and they just keep having all these first time managers that haven't done it, you know. They hired Callaway from a pitching coach, you know, he was horrible as a Mets manager, and then they hired Carlos Beltran. Then Carlos Beltran, you know, was part of the Astros scandal. They fired him. So he's the only manager who hasn't lost a game, you know, for the Mets in Mets history. But he hasn't won a game either because he was a paper manager. He was only a manager in name for like only a few weeks or so, you know. And then they hired Luis Rojas, who to me, I thought he was overrated, you know, to begin with. And then people were saying, oh, you know, he should be manager of the year. I'm like, what game are they watching? Because this guy. He just made so many head-scratching moves. Like, I'm like, he's like Mickey Callaway 2.0. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
he's not ready. I mean, he did interview for the Padres job, but Padres made the smart decision and hired Bob Melvin, an experienced guy. And that's what the Mets need. The Mets need an experienced guy running the team as a manager and as a GM or baseball, you know, president of baseball operations. You know, you can't do the same thing over and again and expect a different result. I mean, that's legitimately the explanation of the definition of insanity. You know, they got to get their act together. But the Mets, they were rumored. Right now, they're rumored to, like I said, they were rumored to go after, you know, managers, you know, GMs that haven't had any experience, you know, leading a team, you know, officially. But here are some of the names that the Mets are interested in, reportedly. One of them is Cardinals assistant GM Randy Flores, Rays vice president of player development Carlos Rodriguez, Twin assistant GM Daniel Adler, Braves assistant GM Ben Stefanovich, and yeah, and there's even a lady, I forgot her name. She's from the Red Sox organization. She's been with the Red Sox organization for like 23 years. So she's seen it all over there. I'm trying to remember her name.
She's a candidate?
Yeah, she's a candidate too. Her name just popped up, I think, yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, she, Hispanic. I can't remember her name. Was it Rachel something? Let me see if I could find it quickly. What was it? See if I can find it quickly for you guys before we head out here. Not finding it right now, but I'm gonna keep looking. But yeah, back to the Brian Sabian thing. That should have been the guy that they were they didn't want to hire him for whatever reason. I mean, the rumors is that they don't want to they want someone who's you know analytical and not old school. Old school GM mentality, but I'm like, this dude won 3 titles. Like, what are you looking for? Like that's what you want. You want a guy who has experience.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, apparently yesterday, he addressed the media and said that, you know, he's taking himself out of consideration for the Mets job, which basically it's like he's basically upset that they played him. So in order for him to save face, he's like, you know, I didn't even want you guys anyway. You know, I've seen this, like, guys, you know, they try to holler at, you know, this, you know, pretty lady, and then, you know, they holler at her, and then after she just pays them no mind, and they're like, man, well, you ugly anyway, or I wouldn't really want you anyway. It's like, man, dude, like, just sit down, man. Like, you're embarrassing yourself. Like,
yep.
Just take the L and walk away. That's it. Acting like, oh, yeah, I didn't want you anyway. Then why you waste your time for? Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Just take the L and walk away. That's it. Have a seat. There'll be next time. There's other fishes in the sea, you know?
Yeah.
Come on. It's ridiculous. You know, but yeah, the Mets did him dirty. I mean, to the man. The guy's won titles. Should he have won a 4th title for you guys to talk to him? Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm scratching my head at that, on why Mets aren't pursuing that.
Yeah. Like, pursue it. Like, he's interested. Like, he's in
quiet mode.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's here. Like, he wants the job. He has the experience. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, no, we want to hire a person that has no experience. Like, do you have, oh yeah, here's the lady's name. Her name is she's the Red Sox assistant GM Raquel Fierro, and then the Brewers VP of baseball operation Matt Klein is another possibility. But actually, he's not really a possibility because the Brewers will never let us get anybody from their organization, and the Astros are down to their final out. So yeah, basically, the Astros are doing a huge choke job. Your Dan Alvarez is coming up as their last hope. to try to tie this game up. But
yeah, I think Braves got this win in the bag.
Yeah, they do. They do, man. And this is what I hate about modern day baseball. You know, they're straying away from they're so far away from what it used to be. Like, you know, pitchers are not even letting these pitchers go five innings. Like seriously, what are they doing? It's like they're obsessed with this bullpenning craze. This bullpenning / opener craze.
No,
like,
no, Will, you're wrong. It's not called bullpen. It's called arm bar.
Yes.
Arm bar.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah.
The arm barning.
Arm barn. Come on, man.
Arm barning game, you know. Oh, yeah, maybe that's why they came up with the opener. Because a few years ago, they called it bullpenning. And then ever since, like, the pandemic last year, they've been calling it openers. Like, Just call it what it was, bullpenning or arm barning, you know. Like, I mean, come on. Like, this game is this game was such a beautiful sport, and now it's just ruined. Like, why aren't these pitchers trying to go seven? Like, or at least these pitchers are not even going five. That's just the bare minimum.
Yeah, it's
like,
ridiculous.
I mean, Luis Rojas is the poster. I guess that's why people are thinking Luis Rojas is a great manager. And I'm scratching my hair. I'm pulling my hair out. Like, why are you guys out with one out away from the fifth?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, this is just a joke. Yeah. To me, and yeah, this is a 500 episode, but, like, to me, sports is getting worser by the moment. You know, starting pitchers can't go deep anymore. You know, NBA, they're straying away from centers. You got centers shooting threes. Like, it's like they're trying to evolve these sports, and it's like it's just getting worse, you know. And then, you know, NFL, they got the roughing of the passer. Like, it's like just to the extreme moment. You sneeze on a quarterback, you know, that's a 15-yard penalty. Like, the sports in general is just, in my opinion, is just going down, you know.
It's
I don't know.
The same.
It's not the same.
It's getting soft. They're making it soft. Soft.
Yeah, that's exactly. And I'm not knocking the players, you know, because just like that, the Astros.
The Braves have won the World Series. I don't know. I mean, they're 3-1.
The Braves are one win away from winning the World Series.
Yeah,
Travis d'Arnaud is gonna win his ring, the ring he should have gotten with the Mets in 2015, but he's getting it with the Braves, and the Braves are one win away from winning their first title since 1995, and yeah, they're making the most of it. They haven't been in the World Series since '99, when they got swept by the Yankees that year. And then, of course, '96 was the year they were trying to defend the title, and they blew a 2-0 lead to the Yankees, and the Yankees went on a 14-game winning streak in the World Series,
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. How did they lose that? How did their streak end anyway? I don't even remember.
Yes, you do remember.
Do I?
Yes.
Refresh my memory.
Yeah, refresh your memory? You should know.
Yes.
You should
refresh
know.
My memory. Oh, yes. The Mets were the one that beat them. The Mets,
yeah.
I mean, the Mets didn't win the war, but they did get that small victory because all the games, you know, were one- or two-run ball games. So,
right.
You know,
yeah,
we gave the D-backs and the Marlins the courage. They realized that the Yankees can bleed. You know, the Yankees are human, so they finished the job that we couldn't do in 2000. So,
yeah.
But is that about me?
Let's focus on a team that's actually winning right
the
now.
The
Braves,
you know,
yeah.
The Braves are one win away, you know, from their title. The inevitable is going to happen.
Yep.
We'll definitely talk more about that next week for sure. unfortunately. Yeah, so that's just the way it is. Yeah, so we'll see what the Mets are going to do, and we'll see what the Mets and the Yankees are going to do in the offseason. You know, Rizzo wants to return with the Yankees. Sure he will. And we'll definitely see what both teams are going to do once this World Series is over, 5 days after the World Series is over. And the Braves are on cloud nine. So I'll save my congratulations for next week when it's official. let's shift gears to a team that's not going to get any congratulations anytime soon. And that's the New York Jets, you know. During this show span, you know, the highlight of the Jets was going to back-to-back years under Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez's first 2 years in the league, you know, losing the AFC championship games both years. The Jets, unfortunately, they're losing. You know, they have Rob, Saleh, he's not getting off to a great start that we expected. But the Jets are going to have a familiar face. They just acquired Joe Flacco, the backup quarterback they had from last year, obviously veteran quarterback, won the title with the Ravens, many years ago. But, he's not starting tomorrow. But he's expected to take over the reins maybe by next week. So, what's your thoughts on the injury to, Zach Wilson and, the current state of the Jets, basically?
I mean, Jets have been playing bad football. I mean, and to make matters worse, now you have Zach Wilson out for who knows how long, and they traded and brought in, what's his face again? Joe Flacco, we'll just see how it goes. I mean, right now there's a lot of things that the Jets need to improve on. Defense, offense, they got to protect the quarterback. They got to eliminate turnovers, and they just got to play better overall. Mm-hmm. But it's just the same. They're making the same mistakes that they were making last year. And mm-hmm. right now the record shows that they're not a very good team. And they have a Bengals team that's coming in red hot right now. You got a quarterback that's playing real good. He threw for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns, I believe, last week. So Jets, things can only get worse from here if they don't mm-hmm. improve their play. But we'll see if they put in Joe Flacco, because I know it takes some time for these quarterbacks to learn a new system. But Joe Flacco mm-hmm. was with the Jets last season, mm-hmm. so he might be familiar with the Jets' game plan. But we'll see if he starts tomorrow. I don't think they'll put him in there just yet. I think maybe you might see him next week, not tomorrow.
Yeah, because Mike White is going to be starting the game.
Yeah,
and Joe Flacco couldn't be with the team until Friday. A few days ago, since it's after midnight now, for personal reasons. Just are hoping, Mike White can shock the world and lead the Jets to victory.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a tough matchup, for sure. Jets are going to be hosting the Bengals, the 5-2 Bengals, tomorrow afternoon. So, yeah, they just have their work cut out for them. So, yeah, we'll definitely let you know what happened with this showdown. Shifting gears, you got the Giants. They're going to Kansas City against the AFC champion, Kansas City Chiefs. You know, with Patrick Mahomes. What's your thoughts with this?
Yeah, it's gonna be a good game tomorrow. I mean, you got the Chiefs, who have been struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't look like the Chiefs that we've seen in recent years, who win all the time. Mm-hmm. And right now, they're only, what, I think, 3-4?
Correct.
So, and the Giants right now, they're 2-5. They had that great win last week against the Panthers, where that was probably their best game of the season last week. You know, they kept the Panthers running game in check. They kept Sam Darnold in check, pressured him, didn't let him get into sync with the wide receivers. The offense, you know, for the Panthers look abysmal. So the Giants played a almost perfect game last week. You know, they dominated. I'm not sure if they're going to dominate this week against the high-powered Chiefs. I mean, even though the Chiefs are 3-4 and they've been inconsistent this year, I mean, they're still a very talented team. And they have a lot of talent, and they're deadly. So Giants have to be careful. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough game, and, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to see. You know, I'm not going to say Giants will win. I'm not going to say they'll lose. But this is going to be a tough matchup for them, for sure.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll definitely keep you posted on that. What happens? Because this is going to be a big game for Big Blue.
Yep.
Yeah, but shifting gears to WWE. What's your thoughts on this week in WWE?
Yeah, you know what? I can't even remember what happened. I remember some of what happened in SmackDown yesterday. I do remember what happened on Raw now. Becky Lynch, the whole showdown between her and
Bianca Belair.
You know, and now on SmackDown you have Sasha Banks
mm-hmm.
with Flair, Charlotte Flair.
Yeah. Yep.
So you got the women's division is heating up right now.
Absolutely.
Also, what do you have? You have I still haven't watched Crown Jewel, but you know, as I stated last week, I did find out the results. Well, and you announced the results as well on
right.
your show last week. So, but yeah, what happened in Raw? I'm trying to remember what else happened.
I'm trying to think what happened too. I know Drew McIntyre fought Jinder Mahal.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm trying to think who did Big E fight? So I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah, Seth Rollins. They were leading up. Seth Rollins won, I think, the number one contendership.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So he's gonna be facing Big E for the title.
Right.
Yeah, that's gonna be I would assume down the line because it's gonna be in a few weeks, and then afterwards they're gonna be leading up to the feud, the Survivor Series feud in November, where there was rumors months ago that Rock might make his return there, but those rumors have been kind of quiet lately.
Yeah.
Maybe he's doing another movie and it killed the, the rumors about it. I don't know. Let me see what else happened. I'm trying to think. What else happened?
Yeah, Zelina Vega again.
Oh, yeah. Zelina, yeah, she fought Doudrop again. And she cheated. She hit Doudrop with the scepter to you know, to beat her again. On SmackDown, Kofi was knighted by King Woods.
Right.
Which was a good moment. And then it was interrupted by the Usos, you know, reigniting their feud. I'm trying to think what else. Paul Heyman was, he went into throwback mode, hyping up what Brock Lesnar, you know, being up on Adam Pearce. Oh yeah, what did you think of Adam Pearce fining Brock Lesnar $1 million?
I thought that was a little
excessive, right?
A little too excessive. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought he was going to retract it after Brock was threatening him and going to pummel him. But Brock didn't ended up not doing it. Well, wait, did Brock
no,
end
no,
up
wait.
Doing it?
No. He remember he gave him the fine because Brock Lesnar attacked him last week.
Right. But I thought Brock was going to do it again. Remember, mm-hmm. Brock confronted him this past Monday again.
Right, but he suspended indefinitely. And I knew that was going to happen. Once he was attacking the people, I'm like, yeah, this is an excuse for him not to show up all these other weeks.
Yeah.
Because he's always getting suspended indefinitely. Like, you would think a guy like this would get fired. Like, every year he after a big match, he just tosses people around, beat people up, and then he gets suspended indefinitely. You know, like, it happens all the time. I have no choice but to suspend you indefinitely. I'm like, I'm just waiting for him to say it. Like, I mean, come on. It's just so predictable. The $1 million one wasn't predictable, but it was just so excessive. And besides, for Brock Lesnar, $1 million is like probably like an appearance for him on the show.
Yeah.
You know, he'll just work for free that night. You know. You know, it'll be fine. It was just, it's just over the top. Yeah, did you see the, I think it was last week when they did the title change, right? When Becky and Charlotte were throwing the towels around and all that stuff.
Let me remember.
I think that was last week.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rumors was that Charlotte has a bunch of heat backstage.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently her character isn't really a character. You know, she's getting. The rumor is that she probably wants to be released from her contract with WWE. You know.
Really?
So she's probably acting like that, you know, allegedly. Because
wow.
Apparently her and Becky Lynch used to be, you know, really good friends, but now they really don't like each other like you see in their recent feuds lately.
Wow.
What else? I'm trying to think what else happened. Yeah, I can't remember what else happened on Raw or SmackDown right now.
Other than yesterday with the Sasha Banks and Flair feud right now that's heating up. What else happened yesterday? I can't remember.
I can't think of anything else right now. But I guess I'll move on to NXT Halloween Havoc.
Okay.
Yeah, they had Chucky host the event. Yep. Chucky was in a WCW, like, feud with, I think, Rick Steiner. I guess he once it's Halloween Havoc or. Oh, now that I think about it. Rick Steiner's son, Braun Breaker, is in WWE now. even though you know, Triple H apparently has beef with Scott Steiner, but his nephew Rick Steiner, the guy. Oh, no wonder. No, shoot. That's probably why Chucky was talking smack on him, saying like he comes from a family of losers. Oh, shoot. That's probably the reference. Because I was thinking it was probably a shot at Scott Steiner, since WWE have beef with Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe I was thinking, or maybe it could be a combination of the two. Yeah, because he was saying like he comes from a family of losers and all this stuff. Yeah, man, that's probably the reference
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Oh man. But Bron Breakker, Steiner's son. He lost to Tommaso Ciampa, for the NXT championship. Bron Breakker, he just popped up in NXT like not too long ago, maybe a month or two or so. But he's been rising, you know, amongst the ranks, you know. Tommaso Ciampa, he's a two-time NXT champion. He lost the title due to injury. He had to forfeit the title years ago. And, he finally got the title back, not too long ago. Here's what happened. Toxic Attraction, which has Gigi Dolin, not to be confused with James Dolan, and JC Jane. They formed a three women faction with Mandy Rose. I'll get back to her momentarily. They defeated Io Shirai and Zoe Stark, I should say, and Indy Hartwell and Persia Perota to become the new NXT Women Tag Team Champions in a Stairway to Hell Ladder Triple Threat Tag Team match. Try saying that five times fast. They're the new champions. So the two of the three Toxic Attraction ladies holding the title. Mandy Rose will have her opportunity against Raquel Gonzalez for the women's championship to that momentarily. Then you have the next match. You have Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy is basically he's a woke. WWE is spoofing the woke cancel culture by having a guy called Joe Gacy who basically, you know, he uses all the verbiage. You know, he says WWE is a safe space, and you know he doesn't. You know, he's basically like a. You know, they're making him out to be a stereotypical like troll on internet. You know, basically, you know, judging and criticizing people. That's basically what the whole gimmick is about. Vince McMahon and WWE, you know, mocking, you know, people like that. You know, so basically, Joe Gacy, he defeated Malik Blade in a singles match. Then you have Roderick Strong from the Diamond Mine. He defeated Odyssey Jones. Then you have Mandy Rose. She defeats Raquel Gonzalez. So now Mandy Rose is finally a title holder in her first time in her career. She's the NXT Women's Champion. So congrats to Mandy Rose. Now all members of the Toxic Attraction are title holders, just like Mandy Rose predicted. So congrats to her. And she won in the Chucky's Choice Trick or Treat fight match for the aforementioned NXT Women's title. Your thoughts, Mac?
Well, I didn't even, I'm not even keeping up right now with either NXT or AEW, so I'm totally out of the loop of what's going on right now.
I know, but you're a fan of Mandy Rose, so I'm wondering what your thoughts on her finally winning.
But I'm excited for her. Yeah, I'm excited for her, definitely, for sure. I just wish I was just more in the loop of what was going on, you know, right now. But, you know, right now, overall in WWE, NXT, I think right now Liv Morgan, out of all the women right now, needs a big push.
Mm-hmm,
and I saw on the Twitter recently that, what's her face, Carmella, even though she's feuding with Liv Morgan, she would like to see Liv Morgan get a push
right
now, too.
Breaking character.
Yeah, breaking character. Yeah, breaking that fourth wall.
Fourth wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Carmella is now engaged to...
what's his name again? I know who you're talking about.
I'm forgetting names tonight.
Yeah,
sorry.
Why did I forgot his name? This is the first time I forgot his name. I've never forgotten his name. Darn, what's his name again? Why did I forget his name?
Me too. Oh, Corey Graves.
Corey Graves, thank you. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never forgotten his name. I've legitimately have never forgotten his name until, like, right now. So we both forgot his name for some reason.
Yeah. So they're engaged now, so congrats to them.
Congrats to Corey Graves and Carmella, you know, for, you know, getting engaged.
Yeah.
And then you have Imperium, Fabian Aichner and Marcel Barthel defeat MSK, which has Nash Carter and Wesley to become the new champions in a Lumber Jack-O-Lantern tag team match for the NXT Tag Team Championship. And then last but not least, Tommaso Ciampa defeated Bron Breakker to retain the NXT Championship. Oh, yeah, one note I forgot to mention. Mandy Rose defeated Raquel Gonzalez because there was a masked woman who was dressed like a Grim Reaper who hit Raquel Gonzalez in the back with a shovel to bury her championship run. And once that happened, there was only one name that came to my mind. And to me, it made the perfect sense. And when they revealed who it was, surely enough, it was, in fact, Dakota Kai, who was Raquel Gonzalez's best friend, former tag team partners. Dakota Kai, you know, is basically the Shawn Michaels, female Shawn Michaels gimmick, and Raquel Gonzalez was, you know, the Diesel, you know, of their partnership. And that's why Raquel Gonzalez called herself the big mommy cool, I think, is something like that.
Mommy
Cito? I forgot what the nickname she calls herself. But yeah, it's basically, you know, a woman version of, you know, the Big Daddy Cool. So basically makes perfect sense. This is going to start a new feud between the former best friends and better rivals, which was basically wasn't that the same tagline of the Diesel versus Shawn Michaels back in the day? So, yeah, speaking of Shawn Michaels, there's a new wrestler that's in WWE, NXT, called Carmelo Hayes. And apparently, you know, Shawn Michaels has taken him under his wing behind the scenes, you know.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
Because, you know, Shawn Michaels sees similarity in their characters, you know. So,
yeah,
it's good to see, you know, Shawn Michaels is, you know, mentoring the guy and, you know, hopefully it leads to bigger and better things for Carmelo Hayes. Like he said, his character says, when he shoots, he doesn't miss. So hopefully WWE and NXT won't miss, you know, promoting this guy. So we'll see what happens. And moving on to Impact before I go to AEW. Last week they had the Bound for Glory pay-per-view event, which I didn't see. Jordynne Grace, she defeated Chelsea Green, Crazy Steve, Falaba, John Skyler.
Weird names.
Yeah. Yeah, and Madison Rayne, you know, by pinfall in the tournament final intergender six-way match for the inaugural Impact Digital Media Championship. Yeah, that's another one you could say five times fast. Okay, and oh yes, the big news is that the Iconics, they made their debut in Impact Wrestling, but now they're called the Inspiration. So now they're called Cassie Lee and Jessica McKay. They won the Impact Knockouts Tag Team Champions, and they defeated Decay, which had Havoc and Rosemary. Trey Miguel defeated El Fantasmo and Steve Macklin. I had to be confused with Macaulay Matthews. for the tournament final in the three-way match for the vacant Impact Division X title. Then you had Heat, you know, formerly known as Heat Slater and Rhino, defeat Violent by Design, Deaner and Joe Doering by pinfall.
Deaner?
Deaner. Yeah, that's his name. I don't know why he's called that. Moose defeated Matt Cardona, formerly known as Zack Ryder, in a 20-man intergauntlet Call Your Shot gauntlet match. The winner, which is Moose, he now receives a trophy and a contract where he can invoke any time within 1 year of a championship match of their choosing, which basically means Moose is basically the one a Money in the Bank ladder match type of match. You know, he has the opportunity to cash in his thing any time within a year, which I will get into that very shortly. Good Brothers defeated Finn Juice, which has Dave Finley and Juice Robinson, and Bullet Club's member Chris Bay and Hikuleo in a three-way tag team match for the Impact World Tag Team Championship. So yeah, they retained it. Mickey James defeated Deonna Purrazzo to become the new Impact Knockouts Women Champion. So congrats to Mickey James winning the Impact Knockout title. You know, she's won the TNA knockout titles, you know, in the past, but congrats to her winning the Impact Knockouts Championship. And Josh Alexander defeated Christian Cage. So basically, you know, Christian Cage is no longer the Impact champion. Josh Alexander is. And Moose defeats Josh Alexander. He cashes in his Call Your Shot match. And now Moose is your new Impact World Champion. So congrats to Moose. So the Impact Championship, World Championship changes hands twice. So that's the deal right there. And then AEW, Sammy Guevara, he defeated Ethan Page to retain the TNT title. And then Scorpio Sky, his tag team partner, beat up on Sammy Guevara. And then, you know, Jericho and his entire inner circle team that reformed, and they're going to challenge Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, and you know, that was it America Top something, the MMA group. So they're going to have a group of five against each other eventually. Oh yeah, the Elite, they dress up as Ghostbusters. But they lost to the Dark Order. And basically, Hangman Adam Page is going to be facing. He's going to be facing Kenny Omega in the near future. But yeah, that's. Well, I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh, Daniel Bryan defeated defeated Eddie Kingston, and Eddie Kingston had a verbal argument with CM Punk. Yeah, I guess that's what. Oh yes, Hikaru Shida, she defeated Serena Deeb to get her 50th win, becoming the first woman to get 50 wins in AEW history. So congrats to her. And what else happened? Britt Baker, DMD, she retained the title against Abaddon, you know, like a hardcore match. Yeah, I think that's basically it. Cody Rhodes was, you know, telling the fans, you know, that he's never going to turn heel, even though they were booing him. But yeah, I guess that's all I could think of off the top of my head about what happened. Anything else you'd like to say, Matt, before we head out?
Well, everyone just have a safe and happy Halloween weekend. And just come back here, check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. Also check out my show, iMac. Check your local listings for that.
That's right. You're the guy. Check out iMac. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports and Legend TV, and come back here next week for the season premiere of Sports Urban Legend. And that would be episode 501. You know, so we're going to get this show, keep this show going. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for checking out this 500th episode. Happy Halloween! We'll see you guys next week. Again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for, you know, checking out this show. Couldn't do the show without you. And we hope you guys come back for the season premiere. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Memo. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.